Yes, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
By the grace of God that we're here again today. The grace of God that has brought you back again today. Amen. I trust that we are here because we have an open heart to what God is saying. We are not just here to collect information. But we are here so that we can know what God is saying in this hour. Amen. And that we can obey. That we can bring every aspect of our lives into order with what God wants. For so many years, the system of church, the system of religion, has been going out of God's order. But the message of these last days is to come out of this thing. Come out of Egypt, come out of Babylon. And come into the kingdom of God. And that we will come in as sons of God. Amen. Now, it is my understanding that there are a goodly number of leaders, shepherds here today. Can I see again your hands if you're involved in shepherding, leadership? Okay, so this message is for 90% of you here. Now, Brother Martin laid a very good foundation of word yesterday. And we want to build on that again today. So to some extent, you're going to be hearing some of the same things that were said yesterday. But in a different way. Now, turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. You did bring your Bible. Matthew chapter 20. Do you have a Bible, brother?
Yes.
In
English Bible. Yes.
Oh, somebody's going to need a Bible in your tongue. There we go. Okay, so I'm going to read in English and you can read in, what is it called?
Visaya.
Okay. Matthew chapter 20. Amen. We start, some of this I'll tell, in beginning in verse 20. Two of the disciples' mother. Mother came to Jesus asking a request. What do you want? I want my two sons to have the first positions in the kingdom.
Dia
Now, when I say that Peter did not understand the kingdom, I will also add that James and John did not understand the message of the kingdom of God. So I shouldn't be too hard on you that perhaps you have not understood the message of the kingdom of God. They thought that Jesus was going to make an organization, a government that is going to rule in a natural way. They were okay with Jesus being the king. But they wanted the chief cabinet positions. Secretary of War and Secretary of Finance or something like that. And Jesus told them, "You don't understand what you're asking for." Hallelujah. One on your right hand and one on your left hand. See, they had a vision of a throne. The king would be holding court. And John would be here, and James would be here. Hallelujah. All right. So it says, Jesus answered, verse 22, and said, "You know not what you ask." "Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with a baptism that I am baptized with?" Drink of the cup. Drink of what cup? Help me out. What cup did Jesus drink of? He drank of the cup of death, suffering, martyrdom. He drank of the cup of being misunderstood and hated by men. He drank of the cup of being betrayed by some of his very closest confidants. Now, what do you think of this throne and sitting on the right and sitting on the left? See, this is what this kingdom is going to be made of. Paul went about before he left the area and he told the elders, "It is through much suffering that we will enter into the kingdom of God." I have heard many preachers on television preaching the message that we can avoid all the suffering. Never have to suffer need and suffer want. If only you have enough faith, you can snap your finger and everything will be good. In In other words, men are preaching another gospel. I have found that what I have heard, that the television preachers are not preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Yes, there will be ruling and reigning with Christ. But there will be a price to be paid. Do you not know that all who are baptized unto Christ's death? Are you willing also, he said, to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized of? John said that there is one coming, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We like the Holy Ghost part. We like the part about power and authority. But most of us are not looking for more fire in our life. Thank you, Lord, I've had enough fire. But when we come to realize that we're not going to be finished, if we're not going to be a partaker of His divine nature until the fire has removed all of the humanity from me. Now, brethren, I'm talking about ministry, I'm talking about leadership. Of course, what I'm saying applies to every saint. But Jesus is talking here about leadership. They said, we are able. They didn't know what they were talking about. They said, and Jesus said, yes, you will indeed drink of my cup. You will indeed be baptized with my baptism. Do you know anything about the history of what happened to these apostles? Except for John, every one of them were put to death as a martyr. They were scattered throughout the world, we are told. And when they had finished their course, they laid their life down. Now, brethren, we are preaching the same message. A willingness to lay your life down. a willingness even now to give up your own aspirations. Your own personal goals. Your mindset and your thinking about what is God, what is the kingdom of God. And what we have been wrongly taught is church. Hallelujah. It says that when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. That suggests that these two brethren were involved with their mother. That they were working with her. But I don't believe that they were moved with indignation because they saw the kingdom and these two brethren didn't see it. I believe that there was competition among these 12. Competition. Who can get closest to the king? Who can be in the higher position? Who can make the rank the fastest? See, this is what you have in the kingdoms of the world. In the world of business, how can you climb the ladder the fastest to become the chief executive? Yes, who can you step on to get there? From what I know of the military, this is the same pattern. Who can climb through the ranks of officers to come to the highest? Lieutenants, captains, colonels, generals. Amen. Now, listen to Jesus' response. He said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them." Now, we're going to put that little pyramid back up here again. When we're talking about the Gentiles, we are simply talking about the people of the world system. That's what the term Gentiles means. Among the Jewish people in the temple, they were doing the same thing. So in the world system, you have all the little people. But above them, you have princes. Okay, now he says, "And they that are great exercise authority upon them." Great ones. The chief executives, the generals, the top dogs. Now what he has described here is different levels of dominion. This system works quite well in the military. This system works quite well in government. This system works well in a big factory. I'm sure that the Ford Motor Company has many of these layers. Now listen to what he says in verse 26. But it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so among my church. You shall not have men ruling over other men. Furthermore, you shall not have a system of bishops that are over pastors. Or any other name you want to give them. Now, this is the original plan that Jesus Christ laid down for his church. I one time asked a Catholic priest some questions. This is before I understood the kingdom message. But I knew that there were many things wrong with his kingdom. We were both captive of each other. We happened to be sitting in the back two seats of a Cessna airplane. Now remember, a Cessna airplane only holds 6 people. And we were flying about a 1-hour flight from somewhere to some village in Alaska. So I began to ask him questions. I said, how can you have a system that does thus and thus when the Bible says thus and thus? I mean, I'm only 23 years old. What do I know? And he finally backed down and said, well, it is the tradition of the church. I said, but it is contrary to what the Bible says. He said, no, tradition can be greater than the Bible. Now, I was talking about the Catholic Church. But when you come to the other churches, the Protestant churches, the Pentecostal churches, you will get the same answer. I was talking the presbyters of the Assembly of God Church. Do they still call them presbyters in the Assembly of God, or are they bishops now? They're still presbyters. Okay. And of course, we knew the people who were the family of the state superintendent. They have a state superintendent also. And then they have a national superintendent. I'm not picking on the Assembly of God. I'm just saying that I had occasion to talk to the man. He was actually a friend of mine. I'd known him for a while. And I was actually kind of interested in coming and joining and coming into some kind of ministry with them. And he said to me, Mark, he said, this is the rules. A, B, C, D. He said, we can't bring you in. I said, well, can I apply? He said, you can if you want to, but you will be hitting your head against a brick wall. He gave me good advice. He said, go somewhere else. You know, I thank God for the grace of God to keep me out of places that I should never have been. So, we understand this is not God's order. Martin said it yesterday. I just want to confirm what was said yesterday. Now, we want to talk a little bit more about what God's true order is. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 20. In verse 17,
Acts 20, verse 17.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe this was the same time that Paul told them that it is through much tribulation that we will enter into the kingdom of God. But in verse 17, it says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now let's just stop for a minute here and recognize some of the aspects of fivefold ministry. Paul is an apostle. Amen. And we know that when Paul was sent out, that there were also prophets that were in the church in Antioch. So we know that there were functioning apostles and prophets in the church. We understand also that Philip was an evangelist. Now, Philip didn't intend to become an evangelist. Philip intended simply to become a servant of the Lord. I should have stayed with Matthew 20 for just a little longer, but I'll tell you what it says. He says, Jesus said, if you really want to be great, you're going to become a servant. And if you want to become the greatest, you're going to become a slave. How many of you want to become slaves? Now, if you're going to be a slave, nobody is going to come and say, "Oh, Pastor." Yes, Pastor. In other words, you're not going to have any titles. Slaves do not have titles. Hey there, you. Come here, wash my feet. Clean up that mess over there. Yeah. We don't bow and scrape and, "Oh, Reverend," and, "Oh, Father," and, you know, no. Somebody one time said that the kingdom of God is upside down from the world. Turn this pyramid upside down, and if this is the highest place, now it's on the bottom. You're just being a servant of Jesus Christ. We didn't come to make a name. We didn't come to make an organization. We came to be an instrument in the hand of the Master. Okay, back to Acts chapter 20. Paul is the apostle and he's calling for the elders. Now, I don't believe that Paul's call to the elders is some kind of a forceful decree that he has made. Paul had labored day and night to lay the foundation of the word of the gospel in Ephesus. They had suffered. They had been imprisoned. They had been chased from city to city, hounded by their enemies. These men had a love for Brother Paul. And by the way, they called him Brother Paul. So, notice that the elders are going to come to this meeting. Now, in verse 28, you find the message that Paul gave to these elders. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. All right, let's look at some of the words that Martin put up here yesterday. Elders. Okay. Presbyteros were called to the meeting. Now, the elders include the fivefold ministry. But they include men of maturity as well in the city, in the local fellowship. Men of maturity. And what does Paul say? He says that the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Who made them overseers? In other words, they were not made overseers by a general superintendent or an archbishop or anything like that. They were made by the Holy Spirit. We're recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. Now, overseers, is this word episcopos? Now remember, this same word is mistranslated in Timothy and I think in Titus as well, and the word bishop is put there. So you see, the Bible is not wrong, but the translation is wrong because there were men involved in the translation that wanted to save the already corrupt system of the church. With our current understanding of the word bishop, at least the English understanding of the word bishop, wouldn't it be awkward to have put that word here where it says that God has, the Holy Spirit has made you all bishops? The same word. It's the same word in the Greek. The elders have been made bishops.
So,
but let's not use that word bishops. It's another Latin word. Like the word pastor, it's a Latin word. It has no business in a Bible that is being translated from Greek to English. And when we have Latin words, I would say that Rome is highly suspect. Okay, now, there's some other good words here. I want to find the definitions here. Okay, here we are. Now, he said, take heed therefore to yourselves and the flock. To the flock. Here's the Greek word. I don't know how to write Greek like Martin does. So I'll just do English letters here. Flock. Is P-O-I-M-N-I-O-N. And it means sheep. It does not mean cows. It doesn't mean horses. It doesn't mean pigs. It doesn't mean chickens. It just means sheep. Now, what were these elders to do for the sheep? He said, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. To feed, and this word feed is poniano. It means to tend sheep. What is the job of elders? Feed sheep. But that doesn't just mean food, it means to tend them in all ways. It means to bind up their wounds. Protect them from wolves. Amen. It does not mean being cruel to the sheep. And as you know, you cannot deal with sheep in the same manner that you deal with cows. I have seen how you deal with cows here in the Philippines. You put a ring in her nose. Yeah? You can't do that with sheep. I didn't try putting a ring in my sheep, but I put a rope around her neck. And I tried to make my sheep come and follow me with a rope. See, I grew up with cows. My father had cows, had many cows. I thought, no problem, put a rope on the cow and she'll come. That sheep would not come. The more I pulled, the more she fought. I pulled harder. Finally, she laid down on the ground. I pulled harder. Finally, I thought, this is not the way to deal with my sheep. Take the rope off. Come on, honey. Follow me. God's people are sheep. Now, Brother Martin told you that every other place except in Ephesians chapter 4, there's another word, and let me put that word up here. Shepherd. Shepherd is the word P-O-I-M-E-N. Now you don't need to be a rocket scientist or a university degree to figure out that these words have a common root. Shepherd, poimen. Flock, poimen. Take care of sheep, poimeno. So, what was the job of the elders? They were to shepherd the sheep. This word feed is sometimes said shepherd the sheep. It's sometimes translated that way. Alright, let's come to another witness. By the way, let's finish with verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. By the way, brethren, every time elders is described referring to the leadership of the church, it is always given in a plural term. In other words, it is not God's purpose to have just one elder over a congregation of people. He called for the elders of Ephesus. He didn't say, just tell the chief elder and he can bring all the assistant elders with him. In other words, in the church, we're not going to have the one guy sitting on the right hand and the one guy sitting on the left hand. So, the wolves are coming. And so, shepherds are to protect their sheep from wolves. Now, when you protect your sheep, you do not attack the sheep. You attack the wolf. And what is motivating the wolves? The devil. By the way, do you know that the devil joined the church? He couldn't beat it, so he joined it. All right, let's go over to Peter.
Now, dito na po sa Pedro.
1 Peter 5.
1 Pedro 5.
Peter is writing a letter to the church.
Si Pedro nagasulat siya o mga sulat kanto sa iglesia.
By the way, Peter is an apostle, is he not? By the way, whatever happened to the apostles of the church? I one time asked a man, where are the apostles in the church? I was very young. Where is the apostles and the prophets, I said. Oh, he said, they were done away with. I said, oh, when did that happen? Oh, he said, when the last apostle died. Well, you know, in Ephesians 4, it says that God gave these gifts to the church, doesn't it? What were the ministry gifts that He gave to the church? He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, what was next? Teachers?
Shepherds.
Shepherds next, right.
Shepherd,
and teachers. Now, every good evangelical church, every good Pentecostal church has all of these ministries functioning, do they? Do we know about them? We have apostles. Maybe we should talk about the Baptist church. What happened to the apostles? What happened to the prophets? Brother Mark, they've been done away with. You see, what happens is when they no longer see the Holy Spirit moving, they have to say, these things are done away with. And this is why the same churches are saying that the gifts of the Spirit are done away with. Well, they were only for the New Testament church. What happened is that the fire of God went out. And these gifts that depend so strongly on the power of the Holy Spirit are no longer seen in the churches. Hallelujah. So Peter is an apostle. An apostle is one who has an apostolic word. Do you know that God has an apostolic word for every age? I believe that there are apostles still functioning in the world today. Do I know them all? No, I do not. But God knows who they are. I don't know what's happening in China, do you? I don't know what's happening in a lot of places in this world, but I believe that God has His fivefold ministry functioning and well. You probably never heard this word until maybe 4 years ago, did you? But see, I'm telling you that God has a remnant at every age that is preaching the truth. I one time read a very interesting book. If you ever can find this book, get it. It's a book called The Torch of the Testimony. It's written by a man named Kennedy from India. And the man is tracing from the beginning the history of the remnant that God has had alive for many, many years. The Torch of the Testimony by Kennedy. I can give you the exact name if I have it at home. Of India, it says on the book. As you trace through the history, you find that a group would get quickened by the Spirit of God. They would rise up. They would have the word of truth for that hour. They would come under intense persecution. would come from the church. The world doesn't care what we're doing. It's the people down there in the temple that care what's going on, because their status quo is going to be destroyed. And when they found that they couldn't beat them, they recognized them. And then the fire died out, and God would have to raise up another people. Listen, brethren, we need to understand that if we do not obey God in what He is saying, He will take this word of truth to another people. And they will obey. And they will become the sons of God. This last days is going to see the manifestation of the sons of God on this earth. The power of hell is going to rise up to try to destroy the kingdom of God. Brethren, read the 11th chapter of Revelation. My goodness, there's so much. We don't have time to get to it all. But in that chapter, the Spirit of God is saying to John, a man, rise up and measure the temple. And the golden altar and them that worship in that place, which is the holy place. Hallelujah. Rise and measure. Brethren, we are bringing a word to what should be a holy place people, not an outer court people. If you have been in an outer court church system, God is saying, come in from that place. Come in where the golden lampstand is. Come in where the table of showbread is. Come in where the golden altar is. Come in and prepare yourself for the time when God is going to call us to flee through the veil. And come before the mercy seat of God. I'm telling you, brethren, that is the only place that you will find protection in this time of terrible tribulation that is coming upon this earth. There is no rapture that is going to remove the compromising Christians, the sinning Christians off this earth.
Wala
witness after witness after witness in the Word of God, there is only one safe place to run into. That is under the shadow of the Almighty. If you had followed Matthew chapter 20 up to chapter 23, you would see where Jesus was crying out to the people in the temple. He was crying out to the city of Jerusalem. He was saying, I would like to put you under my wings. I would like to protect you from the things that are coming upon your people. But you would not. Brethren, we are bringing a word of urgency at this time. We have been watching the news events in these last days. Kingdom after kingdom is coming down. What is going to move in and take over the vacuum? I see the devil's plan coming in to take over. Coming to take over the whole world. Brethren, let me repeat, I do not know how much time we have, but it is not much. God can stop it, God can slow it down. But sometimes I have my doubts that we can come another year. So listen, brethren, take heed to what you hear. Now I wanted to talk about Peter, didn't I? Amen. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Who am also an elder, the apostle is also an elder. Peter is saying, I have a different calling than some of you. I may have a gift that you don't all have. But insofar as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I am among you, I am one with you. I am also a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I didn't look this particular word witness up, but I find that when we found that word in the book of Revelation, it actually means martyr. I think it's in the first chapter of Revelation, it says Antipas, who was a faithful witness. It means that he was a martyr. Is it the same word there, Brother Bird? Are you looking it up? Martus, yes.
There's only one word in Greek football.
Only one word, okay. So, Peter is basically saying to the church, I am a martyr, but I'm still alive.
Di patay na ko pero nagbuhay na pa.
In other words, Peter is saying, my natural life doesn't really matter. Some of you brethren that like titles, tell the brethren to start calling you martyr. Martyr John. Martyr Jose. That kind of takes some of the starch out of the titles, doesn't it? It isn't a title. It's a description of where my heart is. He's saying, my heart is saying, I'm sold out to Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. As far as the devil is concerned, I'm a dead man. Freedom we have when the devil can threaten us and we can simply say, do what you want, but I'm a dead man. The devil can't threaten a dead man. Brethren, I got released from the fear of preserving my life one day about 8 years ago. I was having a heart attack. I was on my way to the hospital. In that hospital, I came to the door of death. I was so close to dead that the doctor, the cardiologist doctor, the heart specialist, went in the waiting room and said to my wife, he isn't going to make it. We're losing him. There's only a tiny spark of life left in him. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm in trouble. Tell me what's going on. What would you like the Lord to tell you if you were in that sick circumstance? I wanted the Lord to say, yay, my son, fear not, for I am the Lord thy God, I will prolong thy life. Yea, my son, thou shalt not die. But you know what he said? He said, for you are dead. I'm living, I'm eating, I'm drinking, I do what you do. I'm not a ghost. But I was released from the fear. You know what? It doesn't matter anymore after that. I think Peter had come to that place when he wrote this. In order to say that I am a fellow martyr.
Isa nga ako, kauban magihapon ko diya sa napatay na.
witness, martyr of the sufferings of Christ. Also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Peter had a hope of the glory. Peter didn't have to climb to that position in the natural in order to have what he wanted. He knew that if he was going to be a partaker of the sufferings of Christ, he was also going to be a partaker of his divine nature. Now to be a partaker of his divine nature, means that we will be made in the likeness of God. That we will be holy as He is holy. Brethren, I am bringing you the good news that you can come to this place before you die. All you have is a heart that is set on complete, total obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Master. Who is the God? And Him only shalt thou serve. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight. Let's look at the words. Feed the flock of God, taking the oversight. Elders are to do this. Amen?
Amen.
Not by constraint, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The next verse. Oh, the last part of verse 2.
Verse 2.
The last part. 5:2, the last part.
Verse 3.
The second verse.
5:2. Sorry.
Read verse 5, chapter 5, verse 2.
At mana sila dili tungod kay pinugos, kung dili tungod kay inyo gayong mga buluhaton sumala sa gibuhat sa Dios diha kaninyo.
Amen. Is this clear?
Klaro pa kay nato ni Mason.
You know, in order to come up with something else, you're going to have to twist the Word of God way out of context and make it say something that it isn't saying. You know, an example of twisting the Word of God out of context I was probably about 38 years old. I wanted to settle the issue about the rapture question. And I finally came to the conclusion, reading Matthew 24, but for the elect's sake, so I understood that the elect are going to be here in tribulation. And so I said, decided that I would ask a pastor. And he was a beloved man that I love very much. He was a little over 60 years old. Younger than I am now. But I considered him an older, mature man. And I had only one simple question I needed to have an answer to. I said, I didn't call him pastor, I called him brother. I said, Brother Chamberlain. I have a question. He smiled, he was so nice. Yes, Brother Mark. I said, Brother, who are the elect? He knew what I was going after. His face changed. The smile was gone. There was anger on his face. And he spit the words at me. He said, "Why, the Jews, of course." It stung me so bad that I decided that I was never going to get the answer. Now, I'm a teacher of the Word. You might have figured that out by now. It's not a title. But I said to the Lord one day, I said, "Lord, if I'm going to teach the Word of God, I have to be able to defend every word that I'm going to give on the basis of the truth of the Word of God." I said, "Lord, I have to have this answer, and I cannot get it from man." Now, this is before I met Brother Duciel or Brother Campbell or any of the men that were preaching this message. I have not met them yet. I said, "Lord, who are the elect?" Do you know what he said to me? By the Spirit. The Spirit spoke to me. The Spirit said, "Look it up." I said, "What?" He said, "Well, you have a concordance, don't you?"
that?
I said, why, yes, I do.
He said, oh, what happened though?
What a great idea. I looked it up. I looked up every instance of the word elect in the New Testament. You know what I found out? Except for maybe one instance, every other use of that word referred to the saints of God, whether Jew or Gentile. Now, I'm just talking about twisting the Word of God so that it fits the traditions of my church doctrine. I wrote to another man and I told him what I believed about Revelation chapter 12, the woman, the moon, the man-child. And he said to me, he wrote back and he said, why do you not accept the, what word did he use? The traditional or the classical definition used by the church. Because the classical definition of the church is not true. It is not old Israel or Mary bringing forth the child Jesus Christ. In two places in Revelation, before you get to this, the angel says to John, I am going to show you things which must come to pass in the future. Amen. So, we are talking about what God is doing in this day, in this hour, restoring an apostolic message to the church. Message to the church. And this is what Peter and Paul were doing in their day. They were bringing the apostolic message of that time to that church. Now, God has not added to His Word since this book has been written. But we are living in the end times now, brethren. And God wants to restore the church to its order, to its original order. That we might be the end time overcoming people. So Peter is saying to the elders, tend the sheep of God. taking the oversight,
bantayan og pakano nimo ang imong mga kanero,
not by force,
dili ingon na pinugos.
In other words, don't put the ropes on them, don't bring the whips out, don't try to drive the sheep like you drive cows. Don't even treat them like you would goats. There's a difference between a goat and a sheep. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock.
Ayo paghari-hari kanto kanila gipial kaninyo aron iyang inyong atimanon kun dili ipakita kanila ang maayong panag-ingnan.
Now the word lords, I'm not very good at pronouncing Greek words.
It's sa Greek nga pinulungan
katakurio. It means to lord over, to control, to subjugate, to exercise dominion over, and to overcome. Basically, it's what Nicolaitans do. In other words, do not establish two classes of God's people. Do not have a ruling class called clergy, and another class called laity. Peter understood that. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, by the way, did you notice he didn't say when the chief pastor will appear? It's the same word. The same word as Ephesians. Jesus did not say, I am the good pastor. He didn't say, I'm the good cowboy. Amen. He said, I have sheep. What did he say to Peter? Feed my calves. No, feed my lambs. Amen. Now, let me go over briefly to the 23rd chapter of Matthew.
Balik sa maigso nito sa Mateo 23.
And then we can put this thing to rest.
O niya, atong ipahiluna dahil sa mga butanga, niya, pahawalay dayon.
I think Brother Martin started with this, but let's take it again. Verse 6 of chapter 23. He's talking to the clergy class of people in the temple. How many of you know he's not just talking to Jews today? That temple was his church. They were his people. And he's saying the same thing to his church today. He says in verse 6, they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues.
Gusto sila sa labing maayong mga dapit na mga akumbira o sa mga lain-laing lingkuranan sa mga sinagoga.
I went to a meeting one time. He's a good brother. He made a conference. And he had special seats for all the pastors. But he invited me to the meeting, and it was really by divine appointment. We knew that God wanted us to come to that conference. They had some of their chief apostles and prophets that were coming to the meeting. And I'm sure they were good men. But somehow, he mentioned a man named Brother Campbell. He said Brother Campbell was a prophet, that he had a true word of the Lord. And at this point in my life, I really desperately needed to hear a true word of the Lord. So I sat back with the laity. Even though I was preaching the word in those days, but I didn't have any titles. We were just preaching the word. So I'm sitting there with my wife. By the way, we came and we stayed in a tent. We brought a tent because I couldn't afford to pay for the hotels. And the heavens opened up and it rained, and I did not know that my tent leaked. We woke up with water all over us. In other words, the devil wanted us to pack up and leave. My wife said, I don't want to be here. I said, sister, you need to repent. You're the one that gave me the word that we were to be here. She repented. We went to the meeting. Wet. We were sticking to the chairs. Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking for Brother Campbell. I went through all the pastors. I didn't know them all. I said, well, now I think that's Brother So-and-so. And that's probably Brother So-and-so next to him. And that's his wife. And that's Brother So-and-so. And so I began to ask the local people that lived in this little community. I said, who's that brother over there? Oh, that's Brother So-and-so. I said, well, which one up there is Brother Campbell in those special pastor seats? They said, well, he's not there. I said, oh, I came to meet Brother Campbell. So I probably whispered to my wife, you know, maybe we'll just stay one day and then we'll go. Maybe half a day or something. So they began to set up all their plans for the conference. Well, here's the schedule. Sister Miller will speak here, and Brother Bombastic will speak here. And, you know? And they laid it all out. They had it all planned right down to every aspect. And they were going on with the program. Suddenly, from the back of the room, a loud, booming voice comes out. Thus saith the Lord. This conference needs to repent now. Ye have bound the Spirit of God. You must give liberty now to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And let Him have His way here today. I turned around and I said to somebody near me, who is that? They said, that's Brother Campbell. The ministry of a prophet. Do you hear what I'm saying? Bringing the church to repentance with a loud trumpet sound. My wife turned to me and she said, I'm glad I repented earlier this morning. And I said, that's the man that I want to get to know. I can tell by where he sits that he doesn't believe in this clergy, pastor, chief apostle, chief above everybody doctrine. That's where I want to be. That's the people I want to know. That's the way I want to walk. Do you hear me? We came into a ministry and we came to a church that a man had gotten into a lot of trouble. He was a pastor. He was in so much trouble. He was even in trouble with the law. He called me and he said, I have to flee. I have to go to another state. I have to get out of New York State. Can you come and can you take over? I asked the Lord, we asked the Lord. I knew there were a lot of trouble. I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to touch this thing with a, we use feet, 10-foot pole, 3-meter pole. Doesn't make any sense to you. In other words, Lord, I don't want anything to do with all their troubles. You know what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me? He said, but these are my sheep.
Panino.
These are my sheep. You know what I said? I said, well, Lord, if you look at it that way, I guess I'll reconsider. And so they wanted to call me pastor. I never heard this word. I said, well, okay. But every time somebody would say that, I felt kind of unclean. And somebody came up to me and said, well, you're a reverend now. I'm a what? Well, what does that mean? Now, I would never let anybody call me that, but I didn't feel good about that either. Now, I found out since then that word is in the Bible. Did you know that word is in the Bible? Reverend? By the way, do you know any ministers that are reverend? Did I hear you say yes? Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, we have lots of them in America too. But listen to what it says I thought it was Psalm 100. I'm looking at 111. What verse is it? Oh, verse 9. Here it is. Yes. He sent redemption unto his people.
111, verse 9.
Yeah. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Holy and reverend is whose name? God's name.
Iluwas niya ang iyang katawhan o nagpasiyog siya siyag kasabutan nga walay katapusan tali kaniya o kanila balaan o gamhanan siya. Balaan o gamhanan.
Now, what does it mean if we take on a name that belongs to God? What is that called? Blasphemy. No, blasphemy isn't too bad, is it? I mean, it's is it a pretty bad sin or what? Is it worse than adultery or fornication? Worse than stealing? You know, brethren, God defines a lot of sins. But he doesn't always say that this is something that I really hate. When God was describing the term Nicolaitans to John, he said, I hate it. How many of you have ever seen the face of the Lord? In vision. I don't see many hands. I saw his face. About a week after he told me I was dead. I saw pain and I saw anger on his face.
Kita niya ang kasakit o ang kapungot na sa Ginoo.
I asked him where the pain came from. I said, did that come from the wicked Gentiles? He said no. See, I thought it was the crucifixion, that, you know, where they were nailing him to the tree. No, no. He showed me his hands. They were old scars. He said, this pain came from the house of a friend. In other words, he's saying it comes from the church. And then his face turned from pain to anger. I mean, his eyes were red and flaming. I was terrified. It was the look like he was going to beat me up. And he said, I'm not going to put up with it much longer. So when the Lord is talking about something that he hates, and I have seen the emotion in the face of Jesus Christ of something he hates. He hates what we in the church are doing to him. He hates what we are doing to one another in wounding each other. With our tongues. With our tail bearing. Our unfaithfulness, our betrayal. And our taking on the titles that belong to him. He says they love the chief seats. They love the greeting in the marketplace to be called rabbi. It's verse 7 of 23 Matthew. They love to be in the marketplace and be recognized. Now, you can say, well, okay, the term pastor, you can make up some excuse. It's an innocent word. It really doesn't mean that to me. It really means something else. But what we really love is the recognition that it gives. We love to see the sisters smile when they see us in the marketplace. What term shall we put? Rabbi, Rabbi. Oh, Father. So good to see you, Father. Pastor, what a surprise to see you. Oh, Pastor, I've been wanting to tell you. Would it be the same if we had no name? Oh, Mark. Hey, good to see you, Mark. No, it carries something different. It carries a hint of pride in it. The that I like I like the fact that you've lifted me up, that you recognize. You're one of the slaves, aren't you? Yes, I saw you cleaning up the floor. What does that do for you? Not much pride in that, is there? Yeah. Oh, you were one of the guys that were working on the sewage when it overflowed. Yes. I remember the smell. You smelled terrible that day. Doesn't do much for our pride, does it? Do you see what Jesus is striking at? He's not just saying, well, change the name from Rabbi, Father, Master. We got to find a new name. Okay, Pastor, yeah. Shepherd. That's a better one. That's in the Bible. See, we got to get rid of titles. Titles put people in a different classification. The soldier meets the colonel. Huh? Yes, sir. Colonel, sir. Yes.
Yes, sir.
He's put the man up on a high level. Do you understand? God is after something in our heart. The city of pride must fall in His church. Pride will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can have all the titles you want, but pride will not come in to the kingdom of God. You know whose kingdom it belongs to? Martin told you yesterday, the one who said, I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will come up on the congregation of the north. I will take on the titles that belong to God. Now I'm going to tell you the end result of what's going to happen to those things. Turn to Revelation.
Now, ato tanawon may sunun sa ang dangatan sa mga tao or ang mga butang o kasing-kasing nga isama na atong tanawon ang pinadayag.
Revelation 13.
Kapitulo 13.
Are we ready to move on now? There are so many, many end time things that we need to talk about. We need to get beyond these foundational things so that we can move on. And I stood upon the sand of the sea.
What verse?
The first verse, 13, Revelation 13.
Unya nakita ko ang usa ka mananap nga mikuha gikan sa tunga gikan sa dagat.
The sand of the sea is the world of the Gentiles.
Kanang gingon din ana mitunga gikan sa dagat or mga anak sa dagat mao kini siya ang mga Hentil.
The sea is where the waves are blowing and blow this way and they blow that way. Have Have any of you seen a television in the last week? Have any of you seen the news report in the last week on a television? I don't have one at home either, by the way. Who's seen it? Egypt, yeah. Tunisia, Egypt, and going into other places. What's happening? The waves of the sea moving this way, moving that way, blowing, every wind is blowing upon these masses of humanity. Get a million people out in the square, campaign for this, shout for that. It happens in America. Said we're going to have a million man march in Washington. I've seen the television in Manila. The same thing happening in Manila. People marching in the streets, shouting. I remember one time they were shouting, Cory, Cory, Cory. You know what I mean. The waves of the sea. Out of this will come a beast. Out of this sea comes a beast. That's what they want, isn't it? They'll accept that beast. And we won't talk about all the heads and crowns and this type of thing right now. It says in verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like a bear, his mouth was like a lion, and the dragon gave him power and his throne and great authority.
Nakita nila sa mananap sama sa lupardo o ang mga tail ni ingon sa tail sa usa ka oso o ang baba sama sa baba sa leon gihatag sa dragon ngadto kaniya sugatan sa mananap ang iyang gahom o trono.
Out of all this mass of humanity uprising, the dragon, the devil, is going to give his power to a beast. Now let's just look at one of the characteristics here. I think it was here that it, where's the name of blasphemy here on this? It's in this. Oh, here it is. I missed it. I should have read that. In verse 1, having 7 heads and 10 horns, upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy.
Na saya Saulo nini ang mapasipalahon ng ngalan. Mapasipalahon ng ngalan nasa iyang ulo.
Now, what do you suppose is going to be the nature of this beast?
Now, unsa man ang dapat unta nga kinayahan ini nga mao nga mananapa?
In order to have a name of blasphemy on you,
para na makabaton o ga kining mapasipalahon ng ngalan diha kanimo,
you have to have a title that belongs to God. Or you have to have a claim that belongs only to God. By the way, do you folks celebrate Christmas here?
Ah,
the people in the Philippines celebrate it?
Yes.
Yes. A lot of people in the Philippines too. By the way, do you have a Santa Claus here?
Yes, we have.
You have. Do you know that Santa Claus is blasphemy? Because he has the characteristics of God. He sees everything. He knows if you're bad or good. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. You ever stop to figure out how he can be in every house at exactly the stroke of midnight? These are attributes of God. This is blasphemy. And you say, well, the people would never accept such blasphemy. Oh, yes, they will. We do for Santa Claus. All right, now, let's go. I want to give you one more witness. Chapter 17, and I want to read the first six verses.
17.
And Revelation chapter 17, the first six verses. And there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore which sitteth upon many waters.
Nagdalag pito ka mga panaksan, midol nga to kaniyang mingon. Dali nga rin pakiton ko ikaw, unsaon pagsilot ang kadautan sa babae nga mao ang dakong syudad nga naa mahimutang dool sa mga suba.
Many waters.
Kaghan, mga suba, dool sa mga suba.
This isn't just talking about a boat that's out on the ocean somewhere. This is the same many waters from which this beast has come out. Many, 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 many human beings. She sits over this. She has her throne. She rules over a billion people. Would you say a billion people is many waters? That's how many the Catholic Church has. She has a billion people. And the Bible says she's a whore. Now, when we're talking about a woman, a woman in typology, in spiritual language, means a church. You see, you can have a virgin church. Or you can have a harlot church. And a harlot church is one who is doing what? She's committing fornication. Yeah. By the way, she's probably doing it for money too. She's being well paid. She's got lots of customers. But what else? It says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. In other words, she's been in bed with the kings of the earth.
This is a church system that is officially sponsored by the governments of the earth. Not only the kings, but the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Try to talk with your family members who are bound by these systems. They're drunk. They're drunk with this thing. They can't listen to you. It's like they've lost their senses. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns.
Verse 3.
Now that sounds like the same beast that we saw in Revelation chapter 13, doesn't it? And if you're sitting on the beast, what? That means that you're in control. When I sit on a horse, I'm driving the horse. Amen. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication.
Unya ang maong babae napuno ang kalawasan sa dayan-dayan ug na
og
verse 4. Og ang iyang ulo
ani verse 4. Yes.
Okay, nagsapot ang babae og dagtong pula og hayag pula og mahalong mga bato sa mga og perlas. Nagkupot siya ka kupa sa ang bulawan og puno sa laway nga sa lawayong mga butang.
And in verse 5, and on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. Now, in order to be a mother, you have to have what? In other words, she has daughters. In other words, now this is a good description of the main holder of the title Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots, Catholic Church.
Now,
But her daughters are going to act like her. You see, most of the Protestant churches have come out of Rome. And they carried with them the traits of their mother. This is one of the main traits right here that they carried with them from their mother. This pyramid system of layers of control. The system of clergy laity. The final verse here is, "And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great amazement." Now, brethren, again, you need to understand a little history. Drunk with the blood of saints. In other words, this church system throughout history has been the cause of murdering thousands upon thousands of saints. She has drunk more blood of saints than Hitler did. Do you want to be part of this? No. Do you want to be a partaker of one of her daughters? The same judgment upon her. Hallelujah. She kills the apostles. She kills the prophets. I'm talking about the true apostles, the true prophets. She corrupts the teachers and the shepherds. She's practically eliminated the evangelists. But God has not forgotten. I leave you with one more verse. I think it's over in chapter 18.
Yang biyan kita mayroon sa pagbili niya sa maong versikulo sa pinadayag 18.
And one final verse where it talks about the chapter 18 is the destruction of Babylon.
Ang kapitulo 18 mayroon maong kinisya ni Nobay sa Osaka at pagkadaot o pagkalumpak sa Babylonia.
You know that God is saying to us to come out of Babylon? Come out of her, my people. That means that God's people are in her yet. But the cry from the heart of God is, "Come out of her now, my people."
Ang tawag sa Diyos, sinatingkasing may zone, alam sa mga kuskanato ng mga kuligawa sa
Why come out of her now? Because she's falling. And if you stay with her, the destruction that is meant for her is going to also fall upon you. And so he's giving you this last chance, so to speak. Come out of her. It doesn't matter what she's paid you. Trust God. He'll take care of you. Get as far away from her as possible. Then pray to get her out of you. Get my love of her out of my heart, oh God. And I'm going to read the last verse of chapter 18. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. You notice that God has named the prophet ministry here is especially, particularly hated by this harlot system. And that's why this harlot church has done away with apostles and prophets. But we have a more sure promise that we will be partakers of His glory. God bless you.